Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, July 28th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading the Big Book. We are on page 96 in Working with Others, paragraph 3, which begins with, "He may be broke and homeless," and ends with, "You may be aiding to his destruction rather than his recovery." Today's readers are Melanie C. for the 12 steps, Alex K. for the 12 traditions, Yvonne A. will read our text and comment, and Laura W. will read page 164 for us. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Melanie C. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for your service. This is Melanie C. I live in Canby, Oregon, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. And I will now ask Alex K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Morning, everyone. Alex K. in California. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such, but never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to play its principles before personalities. Thank you. Happy to do service.
Thank you very much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 96, paragraph 3, and I will ask Yvonne A. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine. This is Yvonne A., recovered for today in BC, Canada. Good morning, everybody. Page 96, paragraph 3. He may be broke and homeless. If he is, you might try to help him about getting a job or give him a little financial assistance. But you should not deprive your family or creditors of money they should have. Perhaps you will want to take the man into your home for a few days, but be sure you use discretion. Be certain he will be welcomed by your family and that he is not trying to impose upon you for money, connection, or shelter. Permit that and you only harm him. You will be making it possible for him to be insincere. You may be aiding in his destruction rather than his recovery. And so for me in this paragraph, I have not had the experience of having to bring someone into my home or providing financial assistance. But what this paragraph speaks to me of are a couple of the principles or ideals that I try to live by now that I am living in this program. And one of those is service. And what this says is these are some pretty big service orders. I mean, to invite someone into your home, to share your space with you, to be them there for them in kind of a way that goes above and beyond. But that's sometimes what we're called upon to do in service. No matter how that is, it may not be having someone in a hallway in a hospital with somebody who's going through a tough time because they have a child in the hospital or something like that, where you're really going above and beyond to be there for a fellow. But that's what this fellowship is all about and why we say that together we get better, because in those hardest times, we know we can rely on one another to be there. And that's a service ideal that I aspire to. The second part of that, though, points out that I cannot do that at the expense of my family. If my recovery doesn't extend to my family, then I am not able to, you know, live by my ideal of being a good wife, a good sister, a good, I don't have children myself, but many do, so a good mother. My family has already had to live with me unrecovered for a very long time. I have a debt to pay to them as well, and that debt comes by living recovered first for them and then to be of the utmost service to my fellows. If I don't do that, if I don't make time for them, if I do things that step on their toes, then they don't see or have the benefit of my recovery. So I must put my family first. And then I'm going to switch over and put it into the context of me. Because as a compulsive overeater, I manipulate, I lie about things, I say whatever I need to say to get whatever I want. And so if someone is going to let me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell you the things. And for me, I'm not necessarily looking for your money. I'm looking for your approval. I'm looking for your praise. I'm looking to please you and have you fill that void in my life. So I'm going to tell you all kinds of things. I'm going to lie to you about, you know, what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. And I need another compulsive overeater who recognizes those same things and calls me out on them. Because when we don't, when we allow, somebody said the other day, and I've heard it a few times now in a short period, and that is that honesty without compassion is cruelty. Compassion without honesty is fatal. And that's what happens if we're not honest with our sponsees. It can be fatal to them. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very, very much, Yvonne. Appreciate that. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since before Wednesday, then please press star 1 to unmute if you would like to comment on page 96, paragraph 3. Star 1 to unmute, please. Then I'll jump in at once. We'd love to hear from you.
Ian F.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Aaron.
Tim F.
I heard Aaron, and then who else was that?
Sima M.
Robin P.
Okay, let me tell you who I've got. Ian F., Lauren N., Aaron didn't get the first deletion of your last name, Simba M., and Robin P. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay, let's roll with what we've got. I did get Laura W. So Ian F., you'll be followed by Laura W. Please share with us. Ian, thank you.
Hi, my name is Ian S. from Kentucky. Very grateful to be here, compulsive overeater. I love these paragraphs that Zoom and Phone Away, I think, make these paragraphs kind of less relatable in a lot of contexts, because I haven't had a lot of experience with in-person OA. I have sponsored a couple of people who were either living in a homeless shelter or were not financially secure enough paycheck to paycheck that they could, for instance, get a big book. And I think what has been said about and what the paragraph says about, you know, you can financially support people to an extent as long as you're not enabling their disease. Like, what I have done is I have bought people big books, which is pretty simple. I've bought people food scales a couple times. If somebody couldn't reliably get to food bank and they didn't have the money, I'd start them out and get them a week's worth of food so they could figure that out. That's all part of it. But there does come a certain point where it's just like anyone else who's starting out. I'm in this program because I'm dying of a disease and I'm powerless and I've run out of ideas. And if I've really run out of ideas and I'm really and truly wanting this thing, it's up to me to figure that out, which does not mean that I should be, that a newcomer who does not have money should be neglected. That's not fair to them, you know. So it's really a question of am I enabling the program or am I enabling the disease, you know? And that's not an easy question to answer all the time. And sometimes you take it as far as you think it's reasonable to, and then you get to a point where you go, okay, this isn't helpful anymore, and you scale back. But this is this is the nitty gritty of it. You know, being of service oftentimes means trying to help in a way that you're not necessarily comfortable or sure how. And that's just part of the deal. It's all about, can I be helpful? That's all I've got to share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ian F. Laura W., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Aaron. Please share this, Laura.
Good morning, Laura W. from Ohio, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And when we read that paragraph, the one sentence that really jumped out to me was, permit that and you only harm him. You will be making it possible for him to be insincere, and you may be adding in his destruction rather than his recovery, and that you might be making it possible for him to be insincere reminded me of how many times I try to play people's higher power or have done that in the past, that I try to play their higher power and I try to put them into situations or give them money or buy them something when they really didn't need my help. And the best thing I could have done for them was to let them sit in what they were going through. And it just reminded me, that sentence, of how we don't play somebody's higher power. And I'm grateful to the program that it's opened up my eyes to that. And I just, when I see someone and I want to help them now, my heart goes out for them immediately, like, oh, you know, can I buy somebody something? But then I pause, and I live in that pause land in my mind for a while. And then I back up and I say, why are you trying to play their higher power? I seek God, and then I usually get my answers. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much, Laura W. from Ohio.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from Ohio. Aaron, you're up next. Please share the first initial of your last name with us, and you'll be followed by Sema M.
Hi, Aaron B. from Arizona. I really like this, the thought on this. Yeah, I've never invited somebody in my home, but to me, it really comes down to in my addiction, I was just really focused on me, whether I was at the dinner table with all my kids and worried the whole time that they're going to eat more than I want them to, so I won't have my leftovers that I want, or, you know, the last piece of cake or something that I pass on because I want to be looked at as a generous person. You know, there's a lot of stuff that in my addiction, it really was about me. And when it comes down to it, the way I see service is trying to do something for somebody else that they can't do for themselves. And whether that's a financial help or just showing them the way, I look at people in program that are living and in a way that is a, you know, that brings hope and brings hope to me to see other people living a way that I want to live. You know, they're doing a service by showing me a better way. And so, you know, the service, it really, for me, it's about how do I stop being focused on me and just look for ways to uplift others? Because I've lived my life in a way that, you know, it's just about me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Aaron B. Sema M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Robin P.
Hi, Sema M., grateful, compulsive overeater, living in recovery. years ago, I came into OA 48 years ago when I first had I had an intense big book workshops that were being run at the time in Manhattan by a man who had been in AA. And I never encountered anybody he had, because he had been in AA where he had people coming to his home and all of these things. But in OA, I never heard of anybody in OA that needed this kind of care. But I was very grateful because I lived in Brooklyn at the time, and I was going to 10 meetings a week in Manhattan. I worked in New York, and I didn't feel comfortable going home on public transportation at night. So he ended up, he had an apartment, and it was called Serenity House, and I guess he used it a lot for helping the AA people. So he did let me use his apartment to stay certain days of the week so I could go to more meetings. And eventually I ended up moving to my own apartment in Manhattan. But that was my experience of receiving that wonderful help. I never had to have anybody stay in my house, but I did help them, you know, first just with clothing, people that may have binged and gained weight. I had all my clothing from when I gained weight. You know, before I came to OA, I had let somebody stay with me and live with me and take advantage of me because of the very reason of my selfishness that I didn't want to be alone. But she left me alone anyway. And so it's a matter of finding balance between being useful to others or being harmful to others and, of course, not neglecting my responsibilities in order to help somebody else. And it's wonderful because by working this program, the directions are in there of how to handle this kind of thing. I ask my higher power. I ask another person what they think. And I don't act on my own whatever comes into my mind at the moment that seems like a great idea, because I get a lot of ideas that pop into my head at a moment that I think are great. For instance, this week, my daughter, who had been in AA, my husband told me that she was drinking again, so I got, and that she didn't think AA worked. And she lives in Maine, so I started looking up trains where I could go and spend time with her and take her to meetings. Meanwhile, I didn't act on anything. And the next day, I called her, and she called me back. And I said, "Your father told me that you're drinking again." And she said, "I'm not, and I don't need your help. Please don't come." And I was like, thank God that I asked first and didn't just run up there and try to take over. So I have a higher power, and that's how I know that I don't overstep when it comes to this high pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Simba M. Robin P. is up next, and after Robin's share, we'll take another lineup on page 96, paragraph 3, begins with, "He may be broke and homeless," and ends with, "You may be aiding his destruction rather than his recovery." Please share with us, Robin P. Star 1 to unmute, Robin.
Thank you. Sorry, I was talking to myself. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I always love hearing your voice. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I am currently in Nashville, Tennessee, usually in Costa Rica. You know, I feel like I have overgiven at times and wanted it more for people than they wanted it for themselves. And what I've come to is that I'm not responsible for another person's recovery. And, you know, people show up as angels for me all the time. And I know that God, you know, I call God the great orchestra conductor in the sky. You know, bring in Robin P., bring in Tom. You know, it's just like, it's perfect timing. And also when I'm ready for help, the right people show up. And, excuse me. And, you know, I also noticed that I cannot carry the person. I can just carry the message. And it makes it so much easier and so much better and so much less obsessive, you know, to not be trying to do for someone what they need to do for themselves. And I've also heard that codependency is doing for someone else what they need to do for themselves, or when helping someone else hurts you. And I feel like sometimes when I've sponsored, you know, I was trying too hard, and it's just such a blessing to just stay on my side of the road, you know, and I always remember, you know, there's God's business, my business, and none of my business, and when I'm in God's business or none of my business, it's painful. And when I'm in my right place, it all works out just right. And the right people show up for me to sponsor. And just like with me, I needed to be desperate enough to go to any lengths to recover and to be willing to work the steps and reach out and reach up and ask for help and be of service to God and myself and do all those things and eat abstinently. And just a miracle of grace. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thanks again, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you, too, very much, Robin P. Okay. We do value everybody's experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So if you'd like to comment on page 96, paragraph 3, please press star 1 to unmute. Give me your name.
Bruce Larry G.
Bruce E. and Larry G. And was that Kathy N? Betsy N?
Gusty.
I'm sorry. Bessie, like what?
Like a wind. Gusty wind.
Oh, gusty wind. Gusty N.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Thank you, Gusty.
Thank you.
Okay.
L.
Anybody else? Tom L. We got room for more? Star one.
Jennifer
unmute.
H.
Jennifer H.
Hannah B.
And Hannah B. Okay. Now, did I miss Brucey on a lineup, or did he also give his name? I think he did.
Yeah, I think he got me.
Brucey, you're the top of the list. Let me just read the rest so people know where we are. Okay, Larry K., Gusty N., Tom L., Jennifer H., and Hannah B. Please share with us, Brucey. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida. And grateful, glad to be on the line today. Thank you, everybody. At first I didn't know if there's anything I could share on this, but then I started just thinking about, you know, people that I've met in the past, people that I've helped, and people that I haven't helped. And, you know, I prayed for almost all of them, though. I mean, if I see somebody and they look like they're really hurting, I usually will pray for them. Sometimes people will say they want money, and I know they're going to spend it on drugs or alcohol, or I'm pretty sure. I'm not God, but I'm pretty sure they are. And I just say, no, I can't give you any money, but I'll pray for you. And sometimes that leads to the positive response, sometimes negative, but that's okay. But I saw a guy the other day, I was coming out of a meeting. I saw him going in, and I saw him coming out. And all I did was just stop and talk to him for a while. He looked like he was lonely and hurting. And I talked to him. I think I encouraged him. I think he felt better. I introduced myself and probably said a prayer to myself for him. My wife and I met somebody. This has been years ago, and they needed to borrow. They need money, and we loaned them money, and we never got it back. And I just, you know, just forgave it. You know, I just thought, well, you know, if you loan, I always think you loan money to somebody, you know, if you don't get it back, that's okay. You know, I'm not going to loan it to them thinking, maybe I may never get it back. But If I get too attached to that, then I can end up getting resentful. So I loaned some money to somebody else at around that time, and we just knew they couldn't pay it back because we knew them over a pretty long period of time, and we just knew it. You know, I mean, they just didn't have it, and so we finally called them up and just said, "Hey, you know, that money we loaned you, it's a gift. You got it. You know, it's not a loan anymore." And they were very, very appreciative. Now, people looking for places to stay, and I felt so much better after doing that, too. God, I've been trying not to get so attached to money. It's hard. People asking for places to stay and stuff that I run into, we got a real good shelter here in town, and they'll take you right in. You don't have to have money. And I even talked to them, and I said, they said
just
they have
reminder.
To take drug tests. Thank you. They have to take drug tests or alcohol tests to get in. They said, no, they can come in without taking a test, and they don't have to have money to get in. So there's places like that around that'll take them. But anyway, appreciate it. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Larry K., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Gusty M.
This is Larry G. G is in the great state of California, and also Larry G., who has a great ego that's getting smashed each day, which is good. You know, I came from the mothership, and in AA, this is what we do. We do these things in AA. I learned very early on picking guys up from being released from prison, going into dangerous neighborhoods, take someone to a meeting, picking someone off the street, giving them a meal, taking to a meeting. In fact, in OA, I actually had the opportunity to go to a couple treatment centers, pick up guys who had strokes, who were being treated for obesity, and help them set up an apartment and sponsor them and go up and go to our first meeting together, and they would have industrial-sized bags of potato chips. And in each of those situations, none of those people got sober. I've never even seen them again. What I learned was I started dating an Al-Anon who eventually became my beloved wife. And what she told me, I said, Larry, what you're doing is you're driving nails in her coffin. And an Al-Anon, I had the opportunity to be part of an Al-Anon Bigfoot study. And the way they approach the 12-step is really different from the way we approach it. It's really interesting. If you have a chance, talk to a recovered Al-Anon about that. It's really very fascinating. Because they take care of themselves first. They have been in a role most of their lives of taking care of other people. And what I discovered is that, I wanted it more than they did. A guy was sponsoring an OA who was 500 pounds, ready to be kicked out of the apartment because his food, spend more food than rent. I would take him to a restaurant, and he would order, pancakes and waffles in front of me. And I sat there and gutted out, and my sponsor would tell me, Larry, you don't have to sit there and gut that out. That's inappropriate. This man does not want what you've got. Maybe other people have had different experiences. I think it was, I'm a really generous person, first of all, and a very compassionate person by nature. And I think that, that has been taken advantage of, and I'm learning, to be generous and compassionate, but also learning to have a little backbone and take care of myself as well. I don't know. There's no secret formula in this, but I know that Lois had a part in writing some of these last chapters, which was the genesis of Al-Anon. And it's just really a great perspective and a great, some great suggestions and advice I've gotten from Al-Anons over the years regarding this and how they would approach the situation. Because I want to be helpful, I want to give back, and I do give back. I love working with new people, but I don't want to put myself in dangerous places today and dangerous situations. And I pass back to the moderator.
Thank you very much, Larry G. Sorry about that. Okay. Gusty N., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Tom L. Where are you calling from, Gusty? Star 1 to unmute. Gusty N., star 1.
Can you hear me now, moderator?
Yes, I can. Where are you calling from, Gusty?
Okay. Thank you so much for everyone and for you in particular for your service today. I'm Gusty N. from West Virginia, recovered compulsive eater, and I so much appreciate what has been shared already. I think the first thing I need to do today is just claim my seat. I completely and utterly lost my emotional sobriety yesterday and have made my amends, but wow, just a reminder of the utter humanity of who I am and that I too can fall apart even in a state. So as we're reading this and talking about this, it just occurs to me how deeply intertwined 10, 11, and 12 really are, and that, you know, when I'm actively working my 10th step, that I'm not stuck in the people-pleasing and the working out of fear that I'm not good enough, and which can often lead to the over-helping, as the previous caller spoke of, that many of us have to be reminded that our helping can be more hurting and hurtful and come out of a compulsive place too. So if I'm not working my 10th step, then I'm stuck in the compulsion still and the emotional in sobriety and the emotional addiction that is part of me. And then when I'm working the 11th step, then that is part of the prayer that my actions will be in the leading of my higher power rather than the leading of my ego or my sense of deficit. And there's the specific part of the 11th step that tells us to pray every morning for how we can be of service to the person who is sick. That prayer continues throughout the day. And so then that leads right into the 12th step and this paragraph that when we have a person before us who has needs, and you know, really appreciated what others have said about, you know, some people genuinely don't have the money to buy a big book. And those of us who work with people in poverty are just sort of astounded how they function, but to actually help somebody get the tools they need to be able to work the steps. But again, that's an 11th step, right? We pray, higher power, show me what it is you would have me do in this situation, rather than, oh my gosh, I have to dive in and fix everything from that unrecovered or personality trait that we need to work on in our recovery. So again, just claiming my seat and acknowledging I'm full force one of us and in need of grace and mercy and working the 10th step every day, and grateful for the person who 12 steps me. Well, actually, the many, many, many people who 12 steps me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, moderator.
Thank you so much, Gusty M. Tom L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Jennifer H.
Thank you, moderator. I really appreciate that. My first real sponsor, I bring this up because he did a very kind thing for me. First, when I asked him to sponsor me, he was a man who had gone through hell with alcohol, drugs, and with compulsive overeating to a scale that was beyond my conception. And he had 2 years of sobriety and all those things. And when I asked him to sponsor me, we were in an AA meeting at the time. He opened this book to this page, to the next paragraph, which hang on for Monday because the next paragraph is a doozy. This current paragraph, I was not broken homeless, but after a few months of working with him and trying to get recovery, I fell off the wagon hard. I spent a weekend just eating everything in sight. I threw stuff in the dumpster, went back an hour later, pulled stuff out of the dumpster. I couldn't tell anybody. I was ashamed of myself. I was living in an apartment by myself, and I was completely trapped. And like 2 a.m, I didn't call him. I called one of his sponsees. My first sponsor was a guy who was sponsoring a whole bunch of men, usually guys out of NA, AA who had food problems. I was a pure food addict. I was not an alcoholic, but they tolerated me. And I called my friend who was a sponsee of his, and he said, dude, just call your sponsor. Just, you know, ask what you should do. And I did. I called Scott, and at 3 a.m, he said, come to my house. This is a man with a wife, with a new child. He lived in a very exclusive neighborhood. And I was just some guy I think I was driving a real piece of crap car, which had been given me, by the way, free of charge in an OA meeting. Someone just saw this. I needed a car, and they gave me this old Acura. I didn't ask for it. It was a gift. And so I showed up at this guy's house, and it was about 4 a.m. at that time. He made me breakfast. He was in his bathrobe. It was dark. He measured out stuff and made it for me. And then he took me to work, and at his work, he had hired a bunch of alcoholic, drug addict, compulsive overeaters. It was kind of a boiler room situation where he was, you know, he was a salesman for real estate, and so sold loans. And he kept me with someone the entire day. I was with another addict in recovery all day long. I have never done such a prodigy of service for someone else. I hope one day to do so. I just wanted to memorialize that, what Scott did for me that day. And he didn't know I was going to relapse for many years thereafter. But I think without that example, I wouldn't be here today with 2 years. I'm so grateful to have 2 years. Thanks for letting me share.
Beautiful. Thank you very, very much. Jennifer H., you're up next, followed by Hannah B.
Hi, this is Jennifer H. in North Alabama, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm very grateful to you guys for being here and for making the meeting possible. And I was just, you know, that first sentence, he may be broken homeless, and I thought, well, I don't know if I've ever met that in a newcomer at OA, but then I realized that's all around me. It's been around me a lot, you know. And what happened as a result of a program, you know, that, you know, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, it was just like another person already shared that if somebody, you know, on the street asks me for money, that's what I always do. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation. So I say, what is your first name? And then I write down their first name. And then I say, you're going to be in my morning prayer and meditation every day. And they usually say, oh, thank you so much. God bless you. Like it's a big relief or something. And I, you know, and then I write them down or put them in my phone and put them on this list in my, morning meditation. So that's something that the program has, seems like, something I can do. And then the other stuff, what in the paragraph just seems like it's saying that it's not there's no simple like rule or something. It could be this or that, and it's important to, like somebody else said, pause and check in, which I have to remember to do with everything, you know, which I haven't been doing always lately. And when I just try to remember, for me, I mean, I just simple little things are will save my butt, even if I can't do big grand things. You know, like the other day, I've just been having some character defects kick my butt lately, and I was so worried about something in an email I had to write, and I was like, I have to call my sponsor on my lunch break, and one of y'all called me, and when I picked that up, then, you know, and ate my abstinent meal, there wasn't really time to call my sponsor, but eventually I did, and it's so funny because that email, I was trying to do it on the phone, and I ended up in all these weird fonts. I haven't gotten used to this new phone. And then I accidentally hit send. So it was like, don't take yourself so seriously. You know, this email I was so worried about ended up getting sent, and it was totally messed up. And that was just, you know, God telling me to quit taking myself so seriously and remember that my main thing is to show up and work this deal, and then he's working it all out in the background while I'm showing up and working with others and
gentle
stuff.
Reminder.
So I'm just very, very grateful for that, and I'm grateful to you guys for being here. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jennifer H. Grateful for your share. Hannah B., you are up next.
Good morning. Hannah B. from Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. There's early, you know, I have some early experiences in AA with this that really speak specifically to the language that they're using here. And I think, you know, it still translates exactly the same even in different situations, you know, as it applies, you know, to the situations that I run into today in service work, like, or just in general, you know. And I think if it's, if I'm giving from, if I'm trying to serve from a conscious, a God conscious place, then it's always good. Like if it's God directed, you know, and it's like they're talking about this discernment here, you know, you should not deprive your family creditors. And it's like, if it's God conscious, it shouldn't deprive, you know, if it, if it's divinely inspired, then it should be always be the opposite of that. So otherwise, for me, I have to be really watchful because it, it can become very Al-Anonic or codependent. And if I'm giving compulsively or impulsively because I want to change something for someone because I think I know what's best, then that's just, that can just be me playing God as well, you know. So when something, when we, you know, I don't know, I guess when I get direction, it's always, you know, it's always good. And God does amazing things through us, you know, for each other. And that's kind of how I look at it. Anyways, I am grateful for all of you here today. Grateful to connect. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for a 2-minute share. Would anybody like to take it?
IOA.
IOA, it's all yours. Please share with us.
Hi, good morning. I'm IOA. I'm compulsive overeater from Southern California. I'm in North Carolina right now, and I just want to thank everybody. This is my first time working Step 12 and hearing everyone's experience, even a familiar experience, was just so helpful to me. I have a tendency to think about other people when I'm listening, what I was reminded of as people started sharing is this, that whatever help I give is about my own recovery as well. So it seems like your motives really matter. If you are a selfish person and you won't sacrifice any time or resources for anyone else, it seems that helping someone in those areas could be helpful to your recovery. But if you're codependent and you try to buy people's friendship and play God, then it sounds like you need to really be careful. And that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that you have to be really discerning because it's interesting. This passage actually brought me back to that passage where it says, like, he tried to help all, Bill tried to help all these people, and while not many of them recovered, he didn't drink. And so that, I just in closing want to say, it reminds me of as long as what I'm doing is guided by the Most High, and I'm doing it with the right motives, it's none of my business what the results are, whether that person is trying to hustle me, exploit me. If I did it for my recovery, then I know that, you know, it's being added to what I need. And I know that it'll be honored in the big picture of what I'm trying to do in terms of my own character defects. So I'm so grateful. I have 5 months of recovery. I couldn't have did it without these vision meetings and just listening to all this experience, strength, and hope from different walks of life. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing. Thank you very much, Io. Okay, and everybody that has shared. We will now close the reading by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Laura W. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. from South Jersey. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.